Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, Composed with Love by my nephew Miles Debastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, we want to thank everyone for responding to our show last week. We had Lisa Fodera of Blue Movie. She's a drummer, and boy, everybody loved her, and she shared some of her own relationship issues with us, and we love that. Next week, Tuesday, June 28th, a little plug for me, I'll be on NPR Radio, WPPB 88.3, coming out of Southampton, New York. And it's a radio show. It's an FM. It's 88.3 FM. I'll be there Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. in Southampton with Bonnie Grice. She's a wonderful radio celebrity. I'll be talking about my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, and about Long Island authors. I'm a board member of Long Island Authors Group, which we have about 60 writers, and it's just a wonderful group. So I'm very honored to be asked to be on that show. I've been wanting to be on her show, so I was really happy. So, Nicole, what's happening in your world today?
Not much, Cindy. You know, I'm good. Everything is usual. You know, it's been a very, very busy, busy day. You know, running all over the place as usual, and that's about it.
Well, I'm sure. I hope all of our fathers out there had a wonderful Father's Day, and I had a little strange experience. Of course, I still am just the last of finishing emptying my parents' house, which is going into closing now, and unfortunately, some of my brother's artwork was stolen from the house, which is a disaster. And we're working to figure out who, what, why, when. But there was very few things left in my parents' house, and I went there on Father's Day because it was a day I could stumble and go there. It wasn't because it was Father's Day. And I was just sorting through the last of a few things, and what I stumbled across, and mind you, there's only a couple of boxes left of stuff in the house. It's not like there's tons of stuff. Was a special Father's Day award to an outstanding grandfather in recognition of his warmth, love, thoughtfulness, and great stories about the good old days, Frank Sansone. And my daughter, Shauna, had given to my father this over 20 years ago.
Oh, my God.
What would be the chance of finding that he held on to this for 20 years?
That's amazing. That's awesome.
And I just thought, my dad, you know, he did that on my mom's birthday. I stumbled across a poem he wrote for her. And, you know, he seems to be amazing about, you know, just letting me find these things. So I'm getting a kick out of him. Do you know what I mean? He's been doing that a lot. So I just couldn't believe. And, you know, I've been cleaning that house out for 11 months now. Why I stumbled across on that day, who knows? And then, of course, I'm sure my dad got a kick out of that. So, you know, this is our last, you know, week being able to be in the house at all. So he's finally letting go of it, and it's a good thing.
Yeah,
anyway,
absolutely.
Nicole, I thought I would share that my Father's Day story with you. And, okay, so we have a lot of callers. I guess we'll start with the first one. I know you don't screen them.
Yeah, I never screen the first one.
Okay.
So we're going to go over to the 631 area code, all right, and the last digits are going to be 1546, so this way you know that we are addressing you when we say hello. So, hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing tonight?
Oh, good, and this is Cindy, and who is this?
This is Don.
Hi, Don, how are you? I think you've been emailing me, correct?
Yes, yep.
And we've been trying to connect. I'm glad you got through. You were so smart. You called in a little earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
Smart guy. And did you have a question you want to share with us?
Yeah, I'm really just trying to figure out. I've been with my girlfriend for about 6 years now, and it's been a struggle pretty much from day one. And, you know, good times are good and bad times are the worst. And I'm just trying to figure out where we're going, if anywhere.
And that's a good question. You described it very well, by the way. And relationships tend to work in five-year cycles. It's predictable cycles. By the time you hit the five-year mark, God was pretty much asking you, Don, either fix it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
To sort of do this sideways dance becomes negative karma after a while. And when God gets in and fix things, it really hurts a lot more. You guys did start out as soulmates momentarily. Soulmates love each other, heart, soul, mind, and body. Do you remember feeling that way about her?
Oh, yeah.
Because 45% of Americans are blessed enough to be offered soulmate love. You know, not all love is created equal, although it all starts out looking good. We certainly don't go in and go, good, he's going to cheat on me, good, she's going to bring me AIDS, oh, good, whatever. We go in thinking this is good. But only 45% of people actually have the real thing, which is the soulmate love. But, you know, the sad part about it is only 1% of Americans are actually maintaining soulmate love, because it means we have to heal our issues. And you could see when it brings out the best in you, you sort of go back to soulmates, you know, when you have those moments when it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, love goes up and down a chart like a stock. You know, today we're loving each other, heart, soul, mind, and body. We're committed to that love. We're healing our issues, and it's good. Tomorrow we're screaming at each other and reliving our parents' disastrous marriage, and it goes downhill. You know, you can't be soulmates and be an addict, be a mean person, relive your parents' nonsense. She is a manipulator. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
And manipulation is something that, you know, is really a major problem with people, because there are really two kinds of people on the planet, the good to a fault, the loyal people who tend to tolerate too much nonsense, and the manipulators who keep pushing our buttons. She doesn't really want to heal right now. Do you see that in her?
Seems like it, yeah. I mean, it does seem like it.
And, of course, if this has been going on and off for 6 years, are you beginning to learn the real lessons? Some of the lessons are simply this. There's no excuses for abuse. You know, how old are you, Don, by the way?
42.
Okay, so, and how old is she?
41.
Okay, because you're a generation that has a certain kind of commitment phobia. Each generation has their own form. Your generation seems to want love, and then when they get it, they sabotage it. They have trouble really committing and sticking 2 feet in it and making it work. Do you have 2 feet in this relationship right now, or do you have 1 foot in, 1 foot out at this point?
Right now, yeah, I'm pretty much 1 foot out and 1 foot on an ice cube going out.
Right, okay, because relationships can't be fixed if there's 1 foot in, 1 foot out. They can be fixed either 2 feet in the relationship, giving it your best, committing to it, working on it, and after a certain period of time, if that doesn't work, 2 feet out. And really 2 feet out, that means no texting, no talking, no, like, I'm having a bad moment and I need to speak to you. It's like, you know, if you're not going to stick 2 feet in here and make this work, then you have to take 2 feet out and see what the separation would do. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take a little bit of courage on your part.
Right.
And can you see that you've taken too much nonsense?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah,
and
taking an awful lot.
Okay, and we're not going to play victim anymore, because only children can be victims. You're a nice person, and nice people tend to take too much crap. They tend to make excuses for the abuse. They tend to think, if I love this person enough, maybe I'll fix her. Did you realize you're not fixing her?
Yep. Yeah.
She has to fix herself at this point, and you're only responsible for your behavior. And what God would say to you if you were sitting with him right now, or her, whatever God is, whatever being this is, would pretty much say to you, you know, she's miserable with you, let her be miserable without you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not serving your higher good or her higher good right now. There is in the future a really nice relationship for you. I mean, you can say the prayer to pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. If it's going to be her, so be it. If not, it's really time to stop doing this. Are you seeing some patterns in your own self? Have you relived this kind of relationship in the past?
No, not really. I mean, this is, it's really, it's been difficult from the beginning. I mean, bringing two families together, and it's just, you know, ex-wives, ex-husbands, and, you know,
And everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, so you've been married and divorced.
Right.
And did you understand now that, do you understand that love starts out good and then sometimes it stinks because of our behaviors? And what we want to do is try to, you know, God is concerned with the children involved here, because what you're showing them is love starts out good and it stinks. Love starts out good and it stinks. It's not really healthy what you're showing them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could, you know, realize that soulmate love does take a lot of work. It does take healing issues. And I'm really seeing that at this point, for the two of you to separate for a while would probably be the best answer at this point. Mm-hmm. I know that's not easy, but have you tried to separate before?
No, not really.
And do you both have separate places to live?
Well, we own a house together, so.
Okay, because I'm seeing this as a marriage, you know what I mean? And now I see
right.
why, because marriage is a business arrangement, whether you're married on paper or not.
Right.
And,
yeah, we have a daughter together. And.
Right, so for all extents and purposes, you are a married couple. We always have to relive our parents' marriage, the one we saw growing up. What was your own parents' marriage like?
I don't know. I have my own views. My father has his views, and my mother had her views. So it's kind of, you know.
Did it go up and down the ladder of love? Was it sometimes good, sometimes bad, and then sort of flatline to be mediocre?
You know, my father was away a lot for work. I really don't remember, to tell you the truth. I mean, my mother manipulated my father a lot. And
okay, there's
you know,
the key. Your mother
yeah.
manipulated your father a lot. The woman you're with now manipulates you a lot. We usually relive our parents' marriage shifting who we are. Sometimes we're our dad and emotionally absent. Other times we allow, you know, we become our dad being manipulated, or we're the one being manipulated. This woman's a lot like your mom at some levels. And manipulation is one of those things that manipulators are very hard to change. They don't see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at this point, you know, if you could find a way to, you know, separate financially and move forward, it's not going to be easy here for you. But, you know, at this point, it doesn't look like it's going to get better the way it is right now, the way you, whatever you guys are doing.
Right.
Does she want to work on the relationship?
I really don't think so. I really don't think so.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. You're only responsible for your behavior.
Right.
And if she's not going to work on this, again, what you're dooming your children to relive this marriage and this relationship. They relive the marriages they see before the age of five. And, you know, they start, you know, would you want your children to duplicate this relationship?
Absolutely not.
And for their sake, somebody's got to stop, you know, start ending the dysfunction. And, you know, financially, is it going to be difficult for you to separate?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, probably. I mean, I could always go to my father's house and live there, so I wouldn't have to worry about rent. But, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, child support, it adds up, so.
Right, and again, I'm just saying for your sake, since you have options, it'd probably be better to take the 2 feet out for just a little bit and see what happens. She might miss you. She might seek some therapy. She might, you know, realize her part in making this end. In some way, she doesn't believe you're going to leave her, so that's, you know, her thinking.
Right.
You know, somehow, you know, toxic love has an unconscious contract. No matter what you do or I do, we never leave each other. Did both of you end your last relationships on a toxic note?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
because we usually, you know, wherever we ended our last relationship, we end up going back to that, you know. Have you taken responsibility for why your marriage ended?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Okay, and then it doesn't look like she's taken much responsibility for her part in ending that relationship.
No, she doesn't take any responsibility in anything.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying. That kind of personality is basically, you know, good luck with changing them. You know, the odds are like 99-1.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's a very judgmental woman, I could see in these cards, and judgmental people and narcissistic manipulative people really can't see what they're doing.
Right.
And maybe now you can see that your dad couldn't fix your mom, you know, and you could say, oh, Dad, I could see why you couldn't fix her, and start forgiving, you know, him for, you know, not being able to fix her, and you really can't fix this woman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wish there were better prognosis here.
That is what it is.
It is what it is, and you're actually karmically free of her. You know, try to end it without drama and trauma. You do have a child together. You know, try. She isn't going to let you, believe me. She's going to make this, you know, pretty traumatic, but you can do the best that you can to diffuse it.
Right.
And, you know, be kind in your parting. And, you know, you have a very good 5 years ahead of you once you make this move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, try not to pick people that need fixing anymore.
Right.
Because and if relationships start out bad in the beginning, that's not good, because usually they should at least be good for a while.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And if you see at least a positive relationship.
I see a really good relationship you in the future, but you've got to learn the lessons. You've got to go backwards, and you've got to start, you know, realizing how you might have relived your parents' marriage in your marriage, and now what part you're playing here. It's not only your parents' marriage, you sign up for her parents' marriage too, so it's a little bit worse than it maybe even your parents' marriage might have been, but we have to start seeing the patterns of behavior. Mostly we've just judged our parents too much.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships are difficult.
Yes, they
you
are.
Know, and you know, I do see you getting a really positive soulmate for your children's sake. Even Don, you've got some good karma that brings on a soulmate, but for your children's sake, God's saying, oh, God damn it, can somebody start showing these kids what soulmate love looks like and that it we can maintain it. Soulmate love is two equals. You know, right now this woman calls a lot of the shots here. She's like your master. You're a nice man. You don't want to be the master.
Right.
But, you know, but you're jumping to her hoops. It's still not two equals. You know, you want a woman who treats you like a grown-up man and with respect, and you want to treat a woman. So, you know, you're not. Don't kick yourself in the head. You know, everybody's making the same mistakes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, my job is relatively easy because there's only a certain amount of patterns of behavior, and everybody's falling into them. But pray for that soulmate who will commit to healing.
Right.
Good luck, and let us know what happens in the future.
You got it. Thank you very much.
And thanks for calling. Bye.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Nicole, are you there?
I am, Cindy.
What a nice man. Don't you wish that he gets
a pill? He was an absolute doll.
And I'm telling you, boy, are you squirming in your seat? I'm squirming in my seat with these calls because I've seen myself make all the same mistakes, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally. And I newly made a lot of these mistakes, too, so it's really...
I know. I feel like we're all on the hot seat every day, you know? When I do a lecture with a room full of hundreds of people, and I'll be talking about certain topics... And everybody looks down like they have their tail between their legs, like, oh, my God, she's spot on with me. And I'm like, how could I be spot on with 150 people?
It's like she's talking to me, meanwhile.
I know.
You know.
No, I'm talking to all of us. Okay, did you screen our next caller, my dear?
Yes, I did. We've got a ton of callers tonight, Cindy. So we are going to keep things moving. Okay, we're going to go to Cecilia in New Mexico. And she has a relationship from the past that keeps crossing her, even across state lines, this relationship has crossed her, and she just wants to know what the purpose is. So
okay.
We're moving on to Cecilia.
Good question.
In New Mexico. Hello, Cecilia.
Hello.
You're on here.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. We can hear you. What a great question, and you're wise to wonder, why would God keep putting us in alignment with each other? And the first card I got was, the karmic lessons. There are some karmic lessons in being brought back to each other. You were soulmates at one point. Do you remember that?
I kind of felt like that.
And
I kind of
you
felt
know,
a connection with them.
Right. And, you know, you are being brought because you had some unhealed issues. It wasn't a lack of love here. There's a lot of commitment phobia, him being afraid to come to the plate. A few of the coming into alignment with each other were more than coincidence. Did you figure that out, too?
Well, I kind of felt like somebody was pushing us together, kind of, you know, like, I don't know.
Exactly. There's a man who died who wants to talk to you. Do you know who that would be? He wasn't old when he died. It could be your dad. It's a male figure. I mean, it's a nurturing figure.
My dad did die, but he was like 70-something.
Was he a young 70? Because he thinks he was.
Oh, probably. He's very vain.
He was pretty handsome because he looks. He's showing me a pretty handsome man. Was he handsome on Earth?
He thought so. Yeah.
Okay, because he still thinks he is. Okay, now you know it's your dad because he's Mr. Vanity here. But he would be resting in peace. He's funny, her father. He would be resting much more in peace if she were with a good man. And he's wanting you to either fix this or get it out of your system. You've been with on and off with him for about 10 years or so?
So this guy, no. He had a crush on me in high school.
Because it's a long time here.
Yeah. We had a falling out in high school. He wanted to date me, and my dad was really strict. So I didn't know how to handle it. So he kept bugging me, and I got nasty with him. So, yeah.
Oh, now you know why your dad is coming through to in the laws of karma, because across from your dad is the laws of karma. He's supposed to fix this. He's the one who screwed it up back then. So, you know, he's the one who keeps bringing you guys back into alignment with each other. And, you know, the man that you're talking about, he's pretty moody. Are you aware of that? He has, like, a lot of mood swings. And, you know, he would want to be with you, but he's a man who has some issues and he's not healing. Are you aware of that?
No.
And, you know, he comes to you and he wants to be with you, but whether he can come to the plate and commit, how long are you willing to do this dance with him before you're looking for someone else?
That's what I was wondering, if I should let the relationship go or still hope for it. For some reason, I always go, you know, he comes to me in my dreams, and it's really weird.
Okay, because
like
you're still in these.
I'm astral traveling.
You are astral traveling. Now, what you should learn from that is soulmates are extremely telepathic, and when our egos screw up a relationship, which they do, the soul is eager to still commune. And so he comes to you in your dreams. He comes to you in, you know, through music when you hear a song. He gives you a lot of signs. You know, you can commune to any soul, living or dead. It makes absolutely no difference, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying, and what you guys should learn from this is soul love never dies. Because most people are really afraid of loving, because what if somebody dies on me? They don't want to love all that much anymore. If he were to die tomorrow, you'd still commune with him the way you are doing it now. But the odd part is he's not a dead man and you're not a dead woman, so why are you loving each other like dead people? Why can't you put your bodies in the same state and be together? Yeah, isn't it enough of loving heart, soul, mind, body, get the body. There's great potential for the two of you, but he may walk away only because he's afraid. And
well,
your
he's
dad,
married now too, though. He's in a relationship right now, too. He was married. I don't know if he still is.
But he wasn't all that committed to her. Are you aware of that? That's like a committed commitment phobic. People can marry low levels of love because they're not that committed to begin with. He comes home to her with his body only. His heart, soul, mind are with you. Isn't that weird? The part that dies, he can bring to her because he'd really rather drop dead than be with her anymore. So, like, bring my body to her. But the part that dies is what the two of you are afraid of. You'd be wise to tell him how you feel. You're only responsible for your behavior. Put the cards on the table that you'd be willing to make this work. If he can't come to you, it's not because he doesn't love you. His astral planing to you proves that he loves you. But if he chooses her, then he chooses her. And then you tell God you want a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you. And you want that because you have your own commitment phobia here too, you know.
Yeah, actually, I've done that because I listened to your show last week.
Oh, you did. And so keep doing that because your dad is going to bring you another soulmate if this man can't come to the plate, because your dad can do that. But first he had to help you fix this, and he's really sorry that he messed it up back then. And believe me, your dad's not the kind of man who ever said he's sorry on Earth, so this is a big quantum leap. He actually has his mom standing beside him. Do you remember her at all?
Yes, I do, and
she just kicked him to make him say he's sorry, you know, and he really wants you to love and be loved in return. And again, you know, just you're only responsible for your behavior by telling me how you feel, giving him an opportunity to think about it for like a few, you know, a month or two, and then the universe is going to bring you another soulmate. And you know, too bad on that other guy. You know,
you think our paths will cross again where I'll have a chance to talk to him? Or
I think you might have to arrange this passing at this point.
Okay.
And that's okay. You can do that. I mean, pick up the phone or, you know, text him or email him if you could.
Okay.
And just, you're responsible for, you know, your behavior. And, you know, if we all have to overcome our fear of rejection and judgment. Sometimes we need to be the one to say, I love you. I would want to be with you. Is there a chance? And if the person says no, it doesn't mean he doesn't love you. People run from a higher love every day because a higher love is scary. What if you die on me? I have to heal my issues. I can't be a mean son of a bitch anymore. Oh, geez, I got to grow up. It's scary. With low levels of love, people stay way too long. How many toxic relationships can you name off the top of your hands? You know, probably top of your head, probably 50. How many good relationships can you name? Not that many. You know, people are very afraid of a higher love. So don't take it personally. He wouldn't be rejecting you. He would be rejecting the higher love you're offering him.
Okay.
So don't take it personally. But in doing that, God would say, oh, she's overcome her own fears of judgment, her own fears of rejection, her own fear of love. Okay, let's bring her a soulmate because she's ready.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, and let us know what happens. And your dad's up there laughing because I don't think he believed in this when he was on Earth. He kind of finds it funny that he's actually able to talk to you.
He hated me when he was alive, so, I mean, you know.
That's his misfortune. Some of the parents who hate us the most when they're alive, they die and they go, oh, my God, what have I done? You were a good daughter. He wasn't always
Well,
a good...
I was with him at the end when he died, so...
And you made up... And that was very wise of you, because the child in us always loves our parent, regardless of whether they deserve it or not. And you were able to allow the little girl in you to mourn for him. And, you know, you haven't rewritten history. You know who he was. You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But at least you didn't go into prolonged mourning, because, you know, the child in you was able to do that. And you were a good daughter. He wasn't always a good father.
Yeah.
I know. I had one of those. You know, we were born into dysfunction to end it. You know, your own fears because you weren't loved the way you should have been loved as a child are interfering with your ability to love at some level. You deserve it now, don't you think?
I think so. Matter of fact, I told God that. You know, I had a terrible childhood. I feel like my life should have got better, and you know,
and it will get better. We took on this role to end the dysfunction because we wouldn't duplicate a lot of the dysfunction. But what you've done is just sort of not played the game. You're not in a marriage. You're not in a committed relationship. That doesn't mean you're not your parents. It just means, oh, boy, I'm afraid I'm going to be them, so I'm not even playing the game. So try to get in the game, heal some more issues, because there's only so many issues we can heal in suffering, and I think you've healed most of them in suffering. Now ask God to, you want to learn the rest of your lessons through love and peace and joy. And there's a lot of lessons to be learned in love. And, you know, your dad is the one who's under obligation to bring you a soulmate. And he is crying. He's genuinely, he's a good dad now. So why don't you start having a relationship with him now, with a man who genuinely is sorry. And really, that's not easy for him to say. You know, my dad was a mean son of a bitch. My dad was a mean son of a bitch up to the day he died, practically. You know, he made some amends at the end. He's a really good father now. And thank God I can talk to dead people, and I know that. He's still a vengeful son of a bitch. I wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of him. Boy, my father's still making his vengeance on some of my brothers. You know, but, you know, for you, embrace your dad's love.
Okay.
And, you know, he was a vain man, that's for sure. So was my dad. My dad took like an hour to get ready in the bathroom. He was like the original metrosexual, you know. So you got to laugh. Good luck to you, and thank you so much for calling in.
Well, I'm finally glad I got on your show. Thank you.
I know. You found the secret. Call in early.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Nicole, aren't the dead fathers funny?
Oh, they are hysterical, Cindy. Absolutely hysterical.
The way they let you know who they are through their vanity is, or whatever, you know, their specific characteristics, you know, is really amazing. Now, I know we have a lot of callers. Did you screen someone else?
We have a ton. Of course I did. We're going to go over to Maria in Maryland right now.
Okay.
And she's having some legal issues involving her rent. And she wants to see if you see her honoring her settlement and how things are going to pan out in the next 4 to 6 months.
Okay, good.
Hello.
Hello,
Hi, you
Maria.
Sound like, Maria, you sound like my life. You know,
I just had
a court battle with my landlord who, you know, perjured himself 4 times under oath. I couldn't believe it. And a very bad arbitrator, and that he ruled the wrong, even if I wanted to pay the settlement, he didn't deduct my security. So it looks like I owe this man a fortune, and so now I have to go to court again, and I'm saying, God, I guess you wanted me to battle this, didn't you?
I was sued for non-payment of rent, so hopefully you weren't quite in those shoes, but I went to court today, and I made an agreement, but, you know, they weren't as flexible as me as I'd like, and so, you know, I've really got to find a way to make it happen over the next...
I see money coming in for you to pay the legal, your legal settlement, by the way. The card that I got was money with the scales of justice.
Mm-hmm.
So it should turn out very good. You have a very good 5-year period actually opening up. Pretty much anything you want is yours. You know, ask the specific question about the court case because there's a couple of other things coming up in the cards.
The other things coming from the cards, are they related or are they totally different?
It has to do with the court case. Is there a question you had specifically?
I'm wondering if there are other legal issues coming up, but maybe you can answer that. But I'm also wondering, basically, I need an agreement to make 4 payments of roughly $600. So it's August, September, October, November, and I can't fall behind between now and November because I only get 5 days notice before they can haul me into court. It's a totally different thing when you make a settlement. There's no protracted period where they have to file and it takes a while for
right,
them to
right.
get it together. And so I'm wondering, do you see me ever falling behind between
No,
now?
I actually see you paying it. That was the first card I got, you having the money to pay it. And you need to pretty much put that in your mind that you should be able to pay it. Are you working
where is the
now?
Money going to- I'm starting another job on Monday, so I hope that's going to provide me with the correct amount of income, but I'm not sure.
It looks pretty good, and is there a way you could pick up a little more income somehow, babysitting something, doing something that...
I'm going to have someone living with me. Yeah, they
good.
Don't know it, but I'm going to have like a... Yeah, so I don't know where you see the money coming from.
Yeah, but
I mean,
seeing it coming. You know what? Creative ways. I'm seeing your job, and I'm seeing some other source of income that's going to really make you pay this. So it looks really good. I'm not kidding. The first card was you're going to pay this, you're going to put this behind you, and the Wheel of Fortune is going to open up for you very, very shortly, which means pretty much anything you want is yours. And even a really good man is in the future for you here. Do you have a relationship now?
I have someone that I've been seeing. I'm not really seeing. His name is Juan, and it's sort of like I see him, and then I don't hear from him for a week, and then I see him. So, you know, I think he's just Mr. Right now. I'm not
right.
sure
this is
him.
Not. Yeah, but there's Mr. Right coming, by the way, and it's probably linked to your new job. Someone you're going to meet through that job or, you know, a new friend you make there who may introduce you to some new friends. This is a very loyal and trustworthy man and very good. So you really have a very good 5-year period opening up. The worst is behind you. Just see yourself paying it off because you really are going to be able to. So
what other
you know,
legal things did you see in the cards that you mentioned?
Yeah, I saw actually this situation with a very promising outcome for you, you know, that you're going to pay it. I don't really see another lawsuit or anything. I see you just getting this over with, which is important. Do you have another lawsuit pending?
Well, I wonder if you can do another spread to see if there'll be any other legal issues whatsoever, because, like, I have a car accident that the company hadn't settled. and it's been like a month and a half, and I have a few creditors chasing me, and, you know, it's sort of like, I wonder if there's any, just abroad, any legal things coming up, because that can throw me off track, too.
Well, I see that you might get some money from, are you due for money for the accident, because there's another source of money coming?
No, I'm not due. It was at fault.
Because right. I mean, there is more money coming for you. I'm not really seeing too much bad, but you've got to make sure you're protecting yourself at all times. Are you doing that in terms of you know, knowing what you're going to have to deal with the insurance company and everything?
Unfortunately, no. I don't feel protected at all because I'm in a situation where I have a rental car that I use every week. It's like a cheaper one, and I need a car from where I live, and it's so expensive. It's actually what's caused me to fall behind in my rent. And
I could see that. I could understand that.
I don't know. I'm hoping that my friend Michael will let me buy a car from him in monthly installments, but, you know, he almost did, and then he kind of didn't, and he was going to co-sign for me like he did in the past, and then he didn't because of his new wife, and I don't know if you see that happening, but having like a car payment monthly would be less than half.
Much easier than what you're doing. Yeah, I see you having to do that. In the laws of attraction, you need to see yourself getting a car. If it's not from Michael, you need to just get out there and figure out how you can get a car. I mean, that should be your top, putting your energies toward there, because I see you getting a car.
You know when?
So it looks very soon, so that's why just put the energies out there, because there is a car coming here, and that will make a lot of your problems better.
That's going to make it go away. But do you see him being willing to co-sign for me or let me buy one of his old cars? He's got a bunch of cars.
It looks like he'll let you buy one of his old cars, and you need to call him up and say, Michael, I really need your help on this. And,
I did that too many times before, and he didn't want to. He was nice about it, but the last time he helped me, his new wife wouldn't put a stop to it.
Well, because she's jealous
never had,
of you.
She's never had money. He has money, and so she doesn't want him spending the money on anyone else but them. And he's a giver.
I know. And and then Michael's not the only person with a car to sell, so that's what you need to, you know, see if you can, you know, get someone else who you can do something like that with. And again, Michael, if you appeal to him, it looks like he would help you. So, you know, ask him. Your cards look really good. After the next few months, things look better. The first thing is you've got to get a car. In the laws of attraction, you just have to visualize yourself getting a car. And, you know, that will make all the difference. Because even a cheapo car you're renting is not cheap.
No, and that's the thing. I don't know a lot of people who would let me just give them $300 a month and not buy the car. You know what I mean? Not.
Did you ever try to go to a used car? You know, used cars.
My credit is unfortunately ruined from all of this. Yeah, you know, I don't want to keep the time on the show, but he maintains his cars impeccably, and normally he just co-signs, and we've done that twice. But I could see him letting me have one of his cars for like $300 a month. And just letting me pay it up over like a couple of years or something like that, or a down payment.
And that's
I don't know a lot of.
You need to come through with a good deal that his wife sees. He made a business deal. He's not giving you something. It's a business deal, you know.
Right.
And you know, try to get that, because that looks like the best bet for you here.
Yeah, I hope so.
And that will make everything better. And again, learn some of the lessons here. Mostly it's, you know, visualizing the laws of attraction, seeing, you know, you paying off your bills, and really not waiting too long to make decisions financially. You know, just don't let too many days pass before you, because you got to find out. If Michael won't do it, then you've got to start finding someone else who will help you and finding a way out of it, out of the situation. And
yeah.
I do see solutions for you. Things look good in your cards. They really do. So don't give up. Don't give up. I know. I mean, this is very bad times economically for a lot of people. And once we make a decision and we start saying, God, find me a solution, whenever I do that, solutions come. So find out with Michael tomorrow. If Michael isn't willing to do it, it's best off you find out, and then you start just looking for your other alternatives. You know, just that's what you need
to do. You think he
will? It looks like he will, if you know, as long as his wife thinks he's making a good business deal. So, you know, he can't be, like, giving you the car away. It has to look like a fair market value price, or at least. Then
right.
She won't object.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, and call it in and let us know what happens in the future.
I definitely will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye. Good luck to you.
Bye. Thank you.
All right.
Oh,
thanks.
Nicole, don't you hate when? Oh, that's fine. I just pray the economy gets better.
It's difficult too because you know it's like sometimes it's you know you get hit with one thing and then you get hit with another thing and all you see is just the negatives just getting thrown at you. You know, I mean, I know exactly how she feels.
I know, me too. I'm like, oh God, we've all been there, and it seems like if people would sort of stick together, and those who can afford to help people helped a little bit. I'm not saying you be a sucker and you write checks for everybody. I'm saying if you can help them, if you can give them an unusual loan, even like Nicole, you were talking about perhaps buying a house. You know, I was very blessed because the house that I bought, I didn't really want to take a bank loan, and I only needed a little more money to pay it off. And the man was very kind and gave me a 3-year bank note. And as soon as my parents' house sells now, I'm going to pay it off next week. He worked it out with me privately. And we need more people to work out privately with other people. Get away from the banks. Get away from because the banks are greedy and they're making it impossible to make a fair loan. You know, for self-employed people, they charge excessive fees. If your credit rating isn't great, then all of a sudden you're paying 29% on your credit card, and who the hell could pay off those interest rates?
Exactly.
So we really need a little bit more of those old-fashioned, you know, if you got a little money, you could loan, give somebody a loan and let them pay you, you know, an interest, a fair interest, probably better than you get in the bank on your money anyway when you're helping somebody. So I think we need to be a little bit creative economically in this times because it really is, you know, it just seems like people just feel like they're really sinking without any hope, and that's not good.
Yeah, no. That just perpetuates more of what's hopeless.
Oh, my goodness. All right, I see you've been screening, and do you have another caller screened or ready to go?
I do. We are going to move over to B in Arizona, and she would like to know when love is coming in, Cindy.
Oh, that's a great question.
I know. Hello, B. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you? So you're ready for love. Is that, I hear that in your voice.
I am way past due, ready for love.
Okay, good, because sometimes the problem with people thinking, well, I'm ready for love, why isn't God bringing it? Well, we do have about 30 soulmates on the planet, but if our own fears or if we've stayed too long, you know, afraid of love or not going after love or in the wrong relationship, the soulmate that was being brought into alignment may have passed by us. So sometimes it takes another year or two for God to be able to bring another soulmate into alignment with us. You can imagine why God has to do this. He would not bring two soulmates at the same time. Oh my God, would we not have chaos in this world? Who would you choose? You know, so there seems like a little bit off here because there was another soulmate you were supposed to be with about 2 years back. What was happening in your life 2 years ago?
2 years ago, this gentleman in La Jolla met me, and it never panned out.
Okay, because that sort of slowed down, you know. That person actually had potential to work out. Are you aware of that?
Well, he only went out with me one day, and then the next day he goes, I don't want to see you anymore.
Right, because, and did you do something horrible to inspire that?
Yeah, I didn't go to bed with him the first night that I saw him.
And that just shows what a moron he is. But, I mean, funny enough, it had potential. He just blew that. I'm
right.
Sure after that you got scared and you maybe, you know, didn't want love.
No, I actually flew back there, you know, like a month after that for his birthday, and I brought him presents and stuff.
And
like
did you
that.
Sleep with him and make him happy?
No, he goes, get out of here. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Leave me alone. And then I called him that night, and he was crying on the phone. And I go, what are you crying for? None of your business. But he never saw me the 3-4 days that I was there. So whatever.
This guy was really afraid of love. I mean, he, you know, he had no patience. But, you know, that situation sort of altered some of what was in your cards. But there is love coming, and it's pretty soon. Are you doing anything to find love, or you're just waiting?
Well, I don't believe that you have to go to bars and all these places, because you can meet people grocery shopping or clothes shopping.
Right, going about your life. Going about your life, exactly.
Right, right.
And this is a man you're going to meet going about your life. He actually is a man who's going to want a committed relationship. It looks pretty soon, actually. So
and
just
that is
the you know probably number. It's probably within the next say 6 months. It's soon. Again, that other guy, he did care about you. By the way, did you have this sort of long distance thing going on for a while with him?
No, not really. I mean, he wouldn't take my phone calls. I mean, I went over there and I got him Hanukkah presents because he was from 20, 30 years ago. He came from Iran with all the other people that came from Iran. But he had a big store in La Jolla for like 30 years.
And how did you meet him?
I actually was walking around in downtown La Jolla with a friend of mine who was psychic. That she lives in Los Angeles, and I said, hey, come over and look at this big fountain I want to get for my house, because I was there 2 months ago with a girlfriend of mine, and so we walked in, and instead of that lady that was working at the store, it was the gentleman that owned it, and so we just got to talking. He was like, come back later, you know, my girlfriend's going to be away this week, and we can go away, and I went, no, I'm not going to date you unless you don't have a girlfriend anymore. And then he called me up in October, because that was in September. And he called me up in October. He goes, I'm on my way to Israel. I'm not seeing you anymore. When are you going to come see me? And I go, oh, November. I didn't want to feel like I wanted to, oh, yeah, I'll be there in 2 weeks when you get back. I wanted to let him think about it.
And again,
and
he's definitely a commitment phobic, this guy. So, you know.
Well, he's also very, very, very materialistic. All he does is believe in buying things and buying more things. And, you know, one of his rooms, because he posted it on the, you know, Facebook, one of his bedrooms is totally all of his clothes. He's got 3 rows of shirts wall to wall.
That's a spendaholic, you know. So
that's crazy.
You know, you know, that's for him a safer addiction than something else, but he's definitely a spendaholic. But anyway, he's afraid of love. You know, I love the way he's from Iran. I call him he's the man from Iran. How fast could he run from you? Iran. And, you know, you got to look at the metaphors in life. He cares about you, but and the universe actually brought you in alignment to see if he would heal. But it doesn't look like he wants to. So, you know, don't think that you were a fool with him, because he just couldn't come to the plate. There was definite potential with that man if he would heal his issues, but that's another story. This is you within the next few months. And, you know, just be patient. It is coming, and you really do have a very good year ahead for you.
Oh, good. Thank you very much.
Well, good luck to you, and let us know when love comes.
I will. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Nicole, are you there, honey?
Of course I am.
Okay, did you screen a call?
Yes, I did. Hold on just a second. All right, we are going to go over to L.A., and we are going to speak to Juliana. Do you remember Juliana, Cindy?
Sure, of course.
All right. And she went on a job interview, and she's waiting, and she wants to see how it's going to turn out.
Good. I'm glad she went on a job interview. Wonderful.
Yeah. Hello, Juliana. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Juliana. I'm sure
Nicole.
You knocked them dead with your interview skills.
Actually, he was very impressed. He actually called for the position, so I went in at ease because I was reluctant to take the position he was offering. And then he came up with a second position, which was for my liking. So first one I turned down because of that involves sales, and I'm trying to find a job that gives me more stability and peace. So So that's what I'm waiting for, that particular position. The one basically is not sales.
Right, and that looks very promising here. You know, you did good, and it looks promising. If you know, there's a little issue there with their money situation. Are you aware of that?
No, I wasn't. I'm not aware of that. Oh, okay.
So if you don't get it,
it's
not because they don't like you or want you, but they may not be willing to pay what you wanted. Did you tell them what you wanted?
They told me I had a very high salary, previously, so they were a little intimidated. But I said, I said that's not an issue because I have a different lifestyle now. I have a different belief. I have a different lifestyle. The money is not an issue. I'm looking for type of work, and I am not willing to work 12, 15 hours a day like I used to. I don't want to be married to my job any longer. So
right, and you gave them the right answers. They're just wondering if you really mean it or if it's just a bad economy and you're saying something. You know what I mean? So they're kind of trying to figure out, is she for real? So, they're very impressed with you. And so if for some reason you don't get it, it's because they're not sure that you're really real about that. So did you send them a thank you note for the interview yet?
I did, and then I actually followed up again.
Good.
And I told them how much I want the job, and I'm waiting to hear from them.
Good, because that they just when you did that, it made them think, oh my God, she really does want this. Do you know what I mean? So I'm glad that you did that. You have a very good 5-year period opening up. Pretty much anything you want is yours, and it looks very promising on this job, by the way.
That's good.
So
Cindy, I want to do something else in nighttime, basically. I want to be a yoga instructor and I want to be a yoga therapist. So this is something that pays my bill, and this is a good job. It's a financial planning, financial analyst job. I'm very happy with that, and I'll be helping lots of people with it. And then this way, and I can do something else.
Exactly,
more aligned with my spiritual growth and where I want to be. So
then you're reinventing yourself, which is something that's very important. It's the kind of people have to reinvent themselves. And what was channeled to me is people are going to have 2 to 5 distinct careers in this new millennium, usually 2 simultaneously.
Like me.
Like you. Yes. So you're definitely the new millennium lady. And you're getting divine guidance, and a lot of times we may only be able to do a particular job part time because that's the money it yields, and then the other job, is the one paying perhaps more of the bills. But you're very much on target, this new millennium kind of employment. And so those of you out there who may be having trouble getting a job or making money, try to think, is there 2 or 3 different things you could do at the same time to be making money?
Something you enjoy.
And that's always, up until now, that's always been my life, sort of juggling 2 or 3 different careers at once. And it was actually made it good for me because, I was a professional belly dancer. I was a children's entertainer. I was a writer. Any one of them full-time would have driven me nuts. But each one of them part-time was perfect.
Yes, and also you fulfill, very fulfilling, because you're a very multifaceted person.
Right, and I needed to sort of juggle a lot of different balls in the air. So, just be creative, and the yoga is definitely in the cards too. So call in and let us know if you got this job, because I'm telling you, at first they thought you were too good to be true. I'm just telling you, they thought Mother Teresa with a financial brain walked in here.
To be honest, I'm surprised you actually caught that. They were, what, you really want this job? It's like, yes! So I hope that I do get it, because this is going to be good for me to pursue my other project that I'm about to start. So, okay.
Well,
thank
good
you
luck
very
to you,
much.
And thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Juliana.
All right, I think we have time for one quick call.
We do have time for one more quick call, Cindy.
And where are we going
to? We're going to go to Tasha in California. And
okay.
She has been in a relationship with the same person for the last 5 years.
Five years.
And she wants to see
mm-hmm.
where it's going.
Good question.
I thought so. Hello, Tasha, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Tasha. And if you were listening earlier, we talk about the relationships working in five-year cycles.
Yes.
And every 5 years, we're sort of asked to reexamine our life, is this where it's going? How old are you, by the way?
I just turned 36.
Okay. And are you ready to take this to the next level at this point?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, he looks like he's a little afraid of it. Are you aware of that?
No, not really.
Of moving it forward. Have you told him that you want to move it forward?
Yes.
Okay. And are you talking about marrying or anything like that
yes.
at this point? Because, you know, try to hold him on it. He's a little afraid because your relationship looks like it's been good. Has it been good?
Not really. It's been up and down.
Because is it better now at this point?
Somewhat, yeah.
Because, you know, he wants a good relationship, and I know you do. And, again, if you want to move it to the next level, you got to work at making it something that somebody wants to commit to. Because that's what I saw a little bit of fear here. You know, when it's good, it's good. And when it's not good, it's not good. And that makes him afraid. Aren't you afraid of taking it to the next level, if marrying him, if it's not healed at this point?
Yeah.
And that's why at the five-year mark, God is asking you to either fix this or leave it. I mean, it looks like it has potential at one to be good, but the two of you are sometimes just have some unhealed issues that sometimes you're bringing out the worst in each other. Other times you're bringing out the best. There's some children in the picture. Do you have them now?
No.
Because do you want children in the future?
Yes.
And that's why if you're going to have children in the future, you're at the age where, you know, to spend more time with him another 5 years and you're not knowing whether you want to marry him or have babies with him, by then your biological clock may have stopped ticking. So, you know, I think at this point it looks like he can be an emotionally absent man. Are you aware of that? Sometimes
uh-huh.
not there for you. And he does, he has potential to make money. Is he making money now?
No.
Because that's what I'm saying. He has potential to make money. Without making money, he's going to be a bad business partner. If you marry him, he's a bad business partner. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
And so, you know, at this point, it may look like you might want to settle because, you know, you want babies. You know, he may be a man to fit a plan, but I'm not sure that's what you would want for the rest of your life. Is it scaring you to think about that?
Yeah.
I know, because there's a lot of fear in these cards. So, you know, if it can't be fixed, and I'm not so sure, you know, it can if he doesn't want to fix it. And, you know, at this point, are you willing to leave this relationship and see if there's something better?
Yeah.
And because, you know, unless you're going to fix it, I mean, he would have to start growing up a little bit. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
And, you know, if you take 2 feet out of the relationship, who knows? Maybe he will realize he misses you. He will start working harder. He will come up to the plate. But unless you take 2 feet out, I don't think he's going to get the message here. You know, you're definitely
okay.
going to be a mom and get married and have a good husband. Whether it's this man or somebody else is a little hard to tell at this point. But, you know, at the five-year mark, God's saying you either fix this, leave it, but to just coast along doing nothing is really negative karma. It may be hard for you to end it, but, you know, don't keep 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Is that what you guys have right now?
Kind of.
How often do you see him?
Every now and then for right now.
Right. Again, you know, at this point, it looks like, you know, if you want it to move forward, you got to start telling him what you want. He's probably going to say, oh, I don't know if I could do that, but at least you're telling him what you want. In the future, there's definitely you with a good man, but, you know, at the five-year mark, it looks like you either fix it or leave it. And I'm not so sure.
Is it fixable?
Well, he doesn't want to grow up. I mean, how old is he?
He's like 26.
Okay, that's the problem. He's young, you know. And, you know, he may not grow up for another 10 years, but how old will you be at that point? You know, too old for your babies. You know what I'm saying? There is an immaturity in these cards. I mean, that's a different generation. You know, he's like 26 going on 16 in some ways. And, you know, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a little bit of immaturity here. And, I mean, you know, you could wait around for 10 more years, but I'm not sure that's what is in your best interest at this point.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, and let us know what happens.
Okay.
Right. Bye. Okay, Nicole, I think we're over time here, so we're going to say goodbye. Nicole, do you have a shout-out tonight?
No, Cindy, no shout-outs tonight. I just wanted to thank all of our lovely callers. We had so many people that we didn't get to tonight, so thank you all for sticking it out with us and waiting on the line trying to get your calls heard. Please call back next week. We do try to get to every call that does come in. And, Cindy, as always, you did a fabulous job.
And the last call, you know, you can see the commitment phobia. It's so hard to fix
totally.
This thing. I mean, I can't even commit to a reading. It's like, what do the people want? Do they want to commit? Do they not want? What is this? You know, it's that booty call, you know, friends with benefits are your relationship, you know?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, good luck to everybody, and we will speak to you next week. Thank you, Nicole.
Bye, Cindy.
Bye.